wanting to be heard right now in this moment. She wants to be validated. She wants to know that, hey, I matter. It's one of the ways we can really help our wife feel valued is by listening.
Hear more today from Michael at familyminute.org.
From the Oklahoma News Network.
An officer-involved shooting in Weber's Falls leaves a man dead. Weber's Falls is in Muskogee County. The shooting happened on Saturday when officers went to the Weber's Falls lock and dam to arrest a man on outstanding warrants. Police say 29-year-old Benjamin Ridley was armed, but authorities do not know whether he fired at the officers before he was shot. A Davis police officer is accused of sexually assaulting a woman. The Maury County Sheriff's Office says the alleged victim told officers that 25-year-old Officer Dale Smith repeatedly sexually assaulted her since the fall of last year. Smith's been fired. It's off to federal prison for 24 years for an Oklahoma City man convicted of sex trafficking children. Prosecutors say 37-year-old Rolando Cifuentes Lopez forced the two young victims to engage in sex acts in exchange for sheltering their family. Authorities say Cifuentes Lopez committed the crimes on one child from 2016 to 2019 and on the other from 2018 to 2019. Cifuentes Lopez pleaded guilty to both counts of child sex trafficking. State drug agents have raided a medical marijuana grow operation near Guthrie. Spokesman Mark Woodward says the marijuana was being sold on the black market.
We are basically looking at this as a criminal organization that is simply using Oklahoma's medical marijuana program to continue to operate their illegal operation under the guise of a medical marijuana farm.
Agents seized 10 to 15,000 marijuana plants and about 15 greenhouses on the property, as well as about 100 pounds of finished product. Immigration and Customs Enforcement, or ICE, is no longer imposing fines on illegal immigrants. The practice was started by the Trump administration. ICE officials call the fines ineffective. Fines that already have been imposed will be canceled. I'm Jacqueline Scott.
It is time for City Matters on K1, 1400 AM, 93.3 FM, K1, 71 degrees just past 9:30. Mike Bailey, Bartlesville City Manager, with us. Good morning, Mike.
Good morning.
How are you, sir?
I'm doing all right for a Monday anyway.
All right, nice to hear. Now, you got a whole crew with you.
We do. We packed the booth today. I never want to come alone, although usually it's Tom in here. He intimidates me a little bit, so I always got to bring company
okay,
for that.
Yeah, there you go.
Is he on vacation?
Yeah, he's gone today, so you're stuck with me.
Is he gone just today? Or?
Yeah, it's indetermined.
Tom, if you're listening, I'm on your side. Just call me.
There you go.
We were just having that conversation. Honestly, since Tom started, I've seen him take a vacation.
Yeah, may not have. Yeah, he's the Iron Man.
Yep, that's true. It's that baseball career. You're not allowed
that's
to miss
true.
Games.
Yep.
So, all right. Well, thanks, Evan. I appreciate it. And good morning. For a little bit of good news to start things out, for anybody who is used to traveling on Hillcrest, we do have that reopened. Currently, there will be reduced traffic there. I believe there's two-way traffic going on, but you'll have to be at some point through there. You'll have to be flagged through, so there'll be a single lane trying to manage two-way traffic. So it'll be it will definitely slow things down. So if you can't avoid it, I would suggest that you continue to. But it is reopened, which hopefully will ease some of the traffic on my drive. It was amazing to me that we closed Hillcrest, and it took me about 5 to 10 extra minutes on Adams as opposed to what it normally did. So Hillcrest carries a tremendous amount of traffic. So we're glad to have that back open. The project, as everybody's probably aware by now, will be to essentially reconstruct the road adjacent to the existing road. So we'll try to keep it open as much as possible, but there will be times when there will be some additional closures through the next 8 to 9 months as that project progresses. And then on top of that, at most times, there will be a single lane for the two-way traffic. So avoid it if you can, but if you need to go through there, it is reopened. Also, over the weekend, the Bartlesville Police Department participates in a nationwide program, Drug Takeback Day. And this is a great program. This is for anyone with unwanted medications. You can drop them off. It's completely anonymous. You just take them and drop them in a box. And I don't, let me see, maybe I got an update. We'll check it here real quick. Let's see. We actually had a tremendous result from this one. We had over 200 pounds of unwanted medications. And then in 2019, we had 112 and 127 pounds at our last two. In 2020, we did not do any of these drug take back days because of COVID, and we had our police stations and fire stations closed down. But so great news, 200 pounds of unwanted medications out of circulation now. And I want to thank the police department for that. It really is a great program that they've been doing, I don't know, probably 5 to 10 years now, and have always had a great result, and Bartlesville's always really participates in that. So we're thankful to the public and thankful to the police department for both of those. We do have some additional lane closures that are actually going to start tonight. So at 9 o'clock tonight, or about 9 o'clock tonight, there will be some lane closures on Frank Phillips Boulevard. This is to facilitate a water line project. And Terry, I think I know Mike is actually overseeing this project, but I believe that it will be the westbound lanes that they'll close at 9 o'clock tonight. They'll work through the night and have those reopen by Tuesday morning, at which point they'll start. There'll be some intermittent lane closures on eastbound.
That is correct. Yes.
Okay. So those are. We'll be aware of those. There will be some changes to the traffic. This is a major water line. It's actually the major water line feeder for the hospital. For what all region does that serve, Terry?
Well, it's really the main for the hospital, but it's a secondary feed for the hot, warm, and cold tanks. So it's a main kind of supply line for really the whole east side of town.
And if you followed the news about municipalities, then you know that one of the things that municipalities, frankly, tend to be kind of bad at is replacing the things that are out of sight. So there's all of these stories about, in particular in Florida, I'd been following recently, that they're really far behind on their infrastructure, and it's the pipes in the ground, it's both the water lines, it's the wastewater lines. So I will say in Bartlesville, we are much more proactive than that. We do try to track those things, determine which ones are of an age, and you also have maintenance records on them. So we try to keep things replaced, but those are extremely large projects. Terry, do you know how much this particular project cost?
This was just under $1.7 million. So it's the water line between Silver Lake to 75, so roughly almost a mile, three quarters of a mile or so.
So about a mile of major water line is almost $2 million. So they are huge projects, but certainly necessary. One of the most critical things that we do is provide water, wastewater, sanitation, or utility services here. So glad that we're being proactive on that. There will be a little bit of inconvenience to the public, but we did manage to not close Highway 75 at all on this project. So the water line actually crosses there, but if you notice the two pits on either side, we bored under the road, which was a challenge in and of itself. But now that that's been accomplished, we will have to cut some lanes on Frank Phillips Boulevard. So be aware of those for the next few days. There'll be some lane closures. And a quick COVID update. Obviously, I'm not with the public health department, and this is the realm of public health. But as far as the city has been very engaged in tracking this and trying to know exactly where we were throughout this process. One of the major reasons is because we operate a large number of facilities. We have 360 employees that we're trying to protect, and also to protect the organization against excessive absences, I believe, would be the best term for that. So we've obviously followed it very closely. Have some really good news. For, I believe, 3 of the last 4 weeks, Washington County has been back into what the state defines as the yellow level. And so that is good news. We do still have a resolution that is in place by the City Council. And for anybody that wonders what that means, it really is only affecting city facilities. So it's really only our enclosed facilities. It affects our employees and the guests and customers within those buildings. So that is set to expire on Monday. Actually, a week from today is when it's set to expire. The council will have a meeting that night, so they could technically re-examine that and either extend it or, but I think with the way things are going, they may not be inclined to do that. Obviously, it's a council decision and not a staff decision, but at this point in time, things really are looking up, so that's good news. I think a big part of that reason is that the vaccine rollout and how quickly it was done in Oklahoma and in our region. For anybody who's curious, the vaccine is available to everyone. Again, this is not a city function, but it is something that we have an interest in, so we want to make sure everyone's aware of it. Vaccines are available to everyone. The City Ride, which is a partnership between the City of Bartlesville and Cimarron Public Transit, they will offer free rides to anyone who needs one to get a vaccine. So if you're interested in that, there's a phone number you can call. It's 918-336-2233. One more time, that's 918-336-2233, and they will, once you have your appointment, they can get you scheduled to get a ride, which will not cost you anything. So that's really good news, and once again, we see in Bartlesville and Washington County, everyone pitching in to help everyone else out. So hopefully we are reaching an end of this, and the next time you see us, maybe we won't have to be wearing masks, but it would certainly be a relief for everyone I know to have reached a point at which we can have some return to normalcy. And speaking of council meetings, not only do we have one next Monday, which would be our regular meeting where we'll conduct a majority of our business, and there will be quite a bit of business to conduct next week. We have a special meeting today at noon. As anybody who follows city government knows, all of our meetings are open to the public. So you're welcome to attend. This is at City Hall at noon today. If you can't make it in and want to watch, it is available on local cable. And if you don't have access to local cable, go to cityofbartlesville.org and we will stream it on our website. So that is always available to the public. The subject of today's meeting is just for the appointment of the Ward 4 candidate. So Alan Gentius, who was vice mayor at the time, resigned off of the council so that he could pursue a job as our municipal judge. And now we need to fill his seat. So I actually had some really good candidates. I've been through a number of these over the years. I know that you three guys have seen this as well. I will say that this is one of the largest number of candidates and some of the best qualified that I've seen in my time here. So I think that the council has a difficult job ahead of them, but they will meet today. The entire discussion will be held in the public meeting. The state doesn't allow for an executive session for appointment of council candidates. So the council will be meeting, and the public, as I said, is welcome to observe. The four council members will appoint the Ward 4 representative, who will serve until, I believe it would be December of next year. And there will be an election, obviously, in November of next year. So looking forward to that. This has been a long and very thorough process by the City Council. They interviewed all seven of the candidates in pairs so that they could avoid having any sort of open meetings violation. The council broke up into pairs and interviewed all seven of the candidates. So they should be very well prepared today. They'll vote to appoint somebody, and then we will turn around next week, and they will actually, that candidate will be sworn in at the beginning of our May meeting. So we'll be back to five council members starting a week from today. So good news, and as I said, this is something that if you're interested in observing it, there's lots of different methods. If you have any problems with any of them, we can certainly help you get connected. 918-338-4282. All right. Well, one of the upcoming heavy items over the next couple of months, Jason, will be our budget preparation. And this is always a very large lift. For anybody who's curious, how many pages is the budget document?
It's somewhere around 4 to 450. It grows grows and shrinks a little bit
every year.
As special use funds come and go and expire, and obviously general obligation bonds require their own funds. So every time we have more of those, we have to increase the number of pages. So
and every expenditure is listed in that document. Now, it's not listed down to the we bought $10 worth of pencils, but if you're curious to know what we spent on office supplies, you can literally find that for each department throughout the city of
every department listed individually. We got a breakdown of expenses kind of classified by function or use. And you can pretty much see the detail, and if you even want deeper detail than that, our office can provide you with that.
What phone number if somebody wants more information?
They can call us at 918-338-4212.
4212, and that will be Karen, your lovely assistant, who was
we'll help them out and can provide them with any of the budget documents we have, direct them to it, or ensure that they can get their questions answered.
So, yes, sir.
This is a major process. We do appreciate the public's participation in it. And a large part of the public participation in the budget is done actually before the budget through the committees, correct? And so about when does the committee consideration of certain budget aspects start?
I believe they never, in my opinion, they never actually end, because the second this budget's adopted, those committees are still meeting monthly, and their suggestions come in. Now, their new suggestions won't be able to come into the current budget necessarily unless they're already thinking along that line. But the second this budget's adopted, any new ideas or anything that's formulated they think is something the city needs to move forward on then goes into the process and be considered for the next budget.
So we have, I believe the last time I checked, we had approximately 300 volunteers on multiple committees. And so if for someone who's really interested in being engaged in the city or in the budget or anything of that nature, there's two ways to be involved in the budget. Number one, we will have a public hearing that you're going to talk about here in a minute. But even greater than that, if you want to be part of the discussion and the decision-making process, the best way to do that is through a committee of your interest. So we have committees for everything from streets to parks to wastewater, believe it or not, has a committee. And so if any of those things are match your interest, and I know wastewater doesn't sound very exciting, but Terry is in the midst of planning for a project, a wastewater plant expansion that's going to be $50 to $60 million, which will probably be the largest single expenditure of public funds in Bartlesville up to this point. So just take a moment here to plug. If you are interested in a committee, please go out to citybartlesville.org. There'll be an application you can fill out. There doesn't have to be an opening on the committee that you're interested in. You can check all of the boxes for all the committees, and we will hold that. We'll hold your request for up to a year. So anyway, that's a great way to be involved.
Absolutely.
And we certainly are always looking for new, fresh faces. In fact, if you ever might have an interest in serving on city council, one of the best ways to get there is through a committee. It provides a sort of a test for you and for the city to see if you're a good fit and if we're a good fit for you. So anyway, that's a big part of the budget, but now I will turn it over to you so you can actually talk about the process that we've been in since, I believe, about February through the end of June is when we finally wrap this up.
So, you know, as you stated, you know, our office starts preparing for the budget in February. We start putting together all the documents needed to forward out to all the directors and make sure their requests are submitted back to us. We start revenue projections, expenditure projections for the current fiscal year. All that's done in February to March. We compile all that data, send it back out to the directors, ask them to modify anything on known conditions, known factors that they think they're going to see within their budget. We bring it all back in-house to the county finance department, start putting it together in that very small document you alluded to earlier, and we go from there. We're kind of in the midst of this process right now because you and I are having directors meetings this week where we'll go
starting
over there
this afternoon.
Yeah, we'll go over their line item requests, make sure that everybody's on the same page and it fits the need for the upcoming fiscal year, and from that point. We compile it all back up, make it look nice and pretty, submit it to the city council for review, and we'll have a budget workshop meeting May 17th. So we do, you know, it's a workshop meeting, so there's a lot more detail gets talked about than the actual adoption date. If citizens want to come and listen in and kind of see what direction they think this is heading, that's a great time to check in, because the public hearing will be held on June 7th, and that's where the public has the access, I don't want to say access, but lack of a better word, to come and speak in front of the city council over the operating budget and kind of put their perspective on it.
And so. It is helpful if you want to participate in the public hearing to have been at that actual workshop meeting, because that is when we go into a great deal of detail.
Yeah.
Those meetings range from 2 to, well, we've had them be 5-plus hours.
Two to infinity.
I'd say the norm would be 2 to 3 hours.
Yeah, that's pretty much about the average over the last, I'd say, 5 years. It was a 2 to 3 hour meeting. Any changes that are coming up will be discussed in that meeting, the budget workshop meeting. And then we just kind of wrap it up from that point forward. Council suggests any changes they want to see, because this will really, although we keep them pointed in the right areas in which direction we think we're going, this is when they really get it to look at it in the full, you know, full perspective, all the data laid out in front of them, and their chance to comment on it. So,
well, it is a monumental process that we go through, and it's a very thorough process, and I'm grateful to you and your staff and the city council and the committees for all of the work that they put in, not to mention the directors who have to compile a request. They have to figure out what they believe they'll spend this year, and then look forward and plan for what they need the next year. So
it's a major task, and we ask a lot of the directors, and we ask a lot of my staff, you know, Alicia, Megan, Karen, everybody down the line that do the majority of the work. You know, it's my job just to give them direction and to really kind of stay out of their way, to be honest.
I'm looking forward to it. It's always, like I said, it's always a great process, and this is really where we set the policy for at least the next year, and we of course talk about the future even beyond that. But this is important. It will determine really where we focus for the next 12 months, starting in July.
It will, and I believe we're sitting in a pretty good spot coming out of this pandemic. Although I never felt we were in a bad spot, but at the end of last fiscal year, it looked like it could get
right.
It looked like it could get pretty dicey going into this fiscal year.
We were definitely concerned last year. Now, the great news is that we're part of the reason we're in such good financial condition is because we have essentially a formalized reserve policy that was set by council. And for anybody who doesn't know what that is actually a law. So they adopted it as an ordinance. It's not a suggestion or a policy. Frankly, it is a law. So it has been very successful in building our reserve so that we have one of the strongest positions of municipalities in the state of our size.
I'd say we're probably definitely in the top five.
Yep.
As far as, and maybe even higher than that, not knowing the ins and outs of our bigger cities, Tulsa and Oklahoma City.
That would be an interesting comparison.
How they sit, but I would say we probably sit better than 95% of the municipalities in Oklahoma or higher than that, based on our ordinance that sets forth that reserve. Fortunately, we didn't have to even dip into that this year.
Right.
We really outperformed our benchmarks we set for the year, and hopefully we look to do that again as we move forward.
All right. Well, thank you, Jason. I appreciate that and look forward to the next couple of weeks, next month and a half of getting this wrapped up and moving into next fiscal year.
Absolutely.
All right, Mr. Keith Henry, you've got an announcement on yard waste collection, and you also, I believe, have an update on our recycling center.
Good morning, Mike.
Morning.
We do. We got several things going on right now. Lots of calls coming in about our leaf and grass collection that we usually offer every spring. And that is coming up the week of May 3rd through the 7th, I believe it's next week. So if you've got those type of materials, again, it's leaves, grass, and if you've scalped your yard or raked some leaves, gather those up, put them in a bag, set them out at the curb, and the guys will be by to pick those up on your normal trash collection day. So keep that in mind. If you've got sticks, you bundle those up into bundles of no more than 50 pounds and no longer than 4 feet. You can bundle those up, tie them up with some twine or some rope, and set those out there also, and they'll pick those up. Keep in mind, keep them away from your poly cart so the guys, it doesn't interfere with your regular collection of your regular trash from the automated truck. But again, set those articles out there, and the guys will be around. They may not, and probably will not, necessarily be picking them up with the automated truck. It'll be a separate rear load truck that'll come through the neighborhood and collect those items, and we'll dispose of those for you. So we got those coming up. We also, of course, always keep in mind our holiday schedule. We're probably a month away, but Memorial Day will be sneaking up on us before you know it. I believe that's May the 31st, so we won't be working that day. So if your collection day is on that Monday, we'll be picking you up on June the 2nd, which is the following Wednesday, which works out well, because when you figure out Monday that we didn't pick up your trash, you remember you can put it out on Wednesday.
Drag it back out on Wednesday.
Absolutely. And then, of course, as you mentioned, the hot topic is the recycling center. We've had lots and lots of calls about the recycling center. I believe in the first part of April, I believe the 2nd, the TRT facility in Tulsa, where we transport our goods, did have a fire. I believe it was caused, Robert's telling me, from a lithium battery that somebody put in their recycling and actually made contact with something else, some metal, created a lot of heat, started a fire. Very severe. I actually visited with Robert this morning. They're working diligently to try to make the repairs. It damaged the entire building, the roof of the structure. The electrical system within the structure got so hot within the building that they have a lot of their machinery was damaged as far as electric motors and what have you. So they're working very hard to get those repairs in place. He was telling me today, I believe the roof and everything will be wrapped up and finished today and closed back up. One of the big holdups still now is just getting all the electric back onto the machinery, and then they'll have to fire it up and see what works and what doesn't work. So they're still in the recovery process from the fire that they had. He does not have a date when he thinks they'll be open. He just, you know, he doesn't want a date on it because there's just no way to fulfill that for sure. So right now he's just saying, you know, we're working as hard as we can to get it open, and as soon as we can, we'll let you know. So for all those people out there that are, you know, anxious to get back in there, just keep an eye on our social media sites, City's Beat, the paper, all the networks and the things that are available to you out there, and just watch those sites. And as soon as we hear something, we'll let you know when the facility will open back up. And again, I expect it will be a couple more weeks at minimum, possibly to a month, because it was significant damage at the facility. So we've had some calls, people asking, is there another option? There really isn't. The only other games in town, which is none, is to go to Oklahoma City or over into Arkansas, I believe around Bentonville. So that would not be cost efficient. Actually, Tulsa, it's not cost efficient, but that's the only place within our area that you can take recycling to. So until this facility is back up and running, we're just shut down. We would like to encourage people. We have had some people dumping outside our facility at the drop-off site. And of course, obviously, you know, that's not what we want you to do. So the material, if you have it now, really you only have two choices. You have to hang on to that material until the site's back up and running, or just put it in your regular trash collection. And the guys will come around collecting your normal trash on your normal trash days, and it will go to the landfill, but it will just be a temporary, you know, solution to the problem until the facility is back up and running. So again, you know, please don't take it over to our site and throw it out in front of the fence, because it's going to the landfill anyhow when you do that. Because we have nowhere to take it either. So that's the latest on that. And like I said, as soon as something comes up, we'll let everybody know when that's going to be and when we'll be back open. One other thing we might mention, we've had some calls in the past. Of course, with COVID last year, we didn't do the Operation Clean House, which is a joint sponsorship between the city, ConocoPhillips, Phillips, and several other sponsors, Washington County. And I'm going to leave some of them out because I don't know who they all are, but there's a lot of the companies here in town contribute to it. Last year, as I mentioned, we didn't have it because of COVID. Normally it's in April. This year, we are planning on having it. The tentative date that they have it scheduled for is September the 18th. So there'll be more information come on out on that as the year progresses. But again, right now it's looking like September the 18th. And that's an opportunity for people to get out there and get rid of the old chemicals they might have, paints they might have, things you cannot put in your regular trash collection, or things that you want to dispose of properly, like old tires, batteries. And it gives people a way to get rid of that material. And tentatively, we always have something at the Phillips parking lot, and usually something up in Washington County, depending on what the materials are. But again, that information will come out later in the summer. And again, September the 18th is the tentative date for that. So keep those in mind. We are going to have those again.
Thank you, Keith. That's always a great program, and look forward to getting that reinstated again this year, now that we have that return to normalcy we've been talking about. All right, Terry, you are going to have to talk like an auctioneer, my friend. I talked too much earlier, so.
I'm ready.
I believe you had a quick update for everybody on the Tower Center at Unity Square.
Yes, we. If you've been out to the site, you've noticed that there's been some changes and construction that's ongoing within the site. We have been working on phase two, which is adding an interactive art feature to the site, kind of on the south end or south of the stage. They poured the concrete last week. The stems and the flowers are up. So really all that we have left is just the landscaping, some cleanup, and then the artist is coming down this weekend to install the stained glass within the petals within those flowers. So hopefully in a couple weeks we'll have that all buttoned up, and we'll probably be looking to have some sort of dedication or grand opening and send her on its way.
All right. It's a great space, and that's a great addition to it. So
yep.
Thank you, Terry. I appreciate that. All right, Evan. Well, I appreciate you hosting us as always.
Thank you, Mike. Appreciate it. You had 20 more seconds.
I squeezed him too much.
He could have talked for 20 more seconds.
He could have covered a whole other topic in that. I know Terry.
Thanks to Mike Bailey and the city crew for coming in at City Matters here on K1. 71 degrees. We'll have CBS News followed by local news coming up here on K1. High near 85. We are under a wind advisory this afternoon in Bartlesville and across northeast Oklahoma. You're listening to K1. Glad to have you with
Dignity,
us.
Dignity, compassion, excellence. Stump Funeral Home and Crematory, Bartlesville, Nowata, Barnstall.
This is KWON Bartlesville, K227 CQ Bartlesville.